Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond, and good morning to a sunny day. Well, do you watch any of those reality shows? One of mine that I usually watch is the Runway Project Runway, where clothing designers come in, and of course they're under a lot of pressure to make new clothes. Right now they're running one that's called Project Runway Junior, and those are young people who are like 13, 14, 15. Absolutely amazing. Not only designers, they have to sew all their own clothes too, and they are amazing. The one girl has only been sewing for a couple of years. She said, "I want a sewing machine." Her parents got her a machine. They got her a little space to work, and away she went. Amazing. But all this is leading up to it prompted me to look into some information about textiles, about fiber, about clothing. I haven't kept up to date really on what's happening in that field, you know, because we used to have some new things. Do you remember Tencel? That's one of the not so new ones now. But before that, of course, all of our fibers, our textiles, were made out of cotton and wool, mohair, linen, rami, vicuna, and of course some clothes were made out of leather, but those were not fibers. Well, that was true for many, many, you know, eons. And then silk was the first monofilament material that was a natural material, and scientists kept wanting to make something that was similar, an artificial silk. And that happened in the mid-1800s. Now, you wonder where I'm going with all this. It was like opening a treasure chest when I started looking for this information, because I've been so out of touch, I guess, not keeping up to date. It is mind-blowing what's happening to textiles. So I just was excited to share that information with you. So, mid-1800s was the rayon, and shortly after that, acetate. And we loved the feel of those. They did have some problems, but it laid the groundwork for the next step. And you maybe would guess that's nylon and polyester. And for years, those were, you know, major new fabrics. Again, sometimes with some problems, but we loved them for a lot of good reasons. So most of that happened, all of those advances happened between 1930 to 1950. And then in the mid-1950s, there was this breakthrough. A Carl Ziegler in Germany set the stage for the next big advancement by, you know, all of these chemistry. It's like a chemistry lesson reading through this, because, of course, and physics, actually, understanding how molecules work, understanding how fibers get together, and so much more. But Ziegler then discovered some ways to work with the molecules in polymers. And so the next fibers that we would probably hear about on the market are polypropylenes and polyolefins. And I'm guessing some of you have heard of olefin and polypropylene in carpets. They still are used in carpets because they're tough, because they stains are easily removed, and it just makes a good base for carpets. Carpets contain other kinds of things and probably some newer ones, but that in material, that fiber put together in the 1950s is the base for something we still use. So that just sort of set the stage for moving on to many, many more developments that impact our lives in so many ways. And I'm thinking, well, even though I didn't think about the name of it and how it's done, you know, you think about, for instance, the astronaut spacesuits. They weren't made of metal. I mean, that's just logical. They were not made of metal. They had to be made of fiber, and they had to be tough fiber. And do lots of different things, withstanding pressure and not be easily torn. And so in life, we could think about how fibers have changed. Another name that I'm likely a lot of people have heard of is Kevlar. And what do you think of when you think of Kevlar? Well, a couple of the characteristics of Kevlar, first of all, it's very fire resistant. And secondly, it's very tough. And so bulletproof vests are made of Kevlar. And these fibers are made from spinning a liquid crystal solution, generally as one in which the linear polymer rods align into domains, much like matchsticks. So now we're starting to get into all the how is that done. And for most of us, we maybe don't care. But this, to scientists, it's, of course, it's very, very important. So the Kevlar, as I say, I think of mostly with bulletproof vests, but because it is so fire resistant, it's also used for firefighters' coats and other protective equipment. And it was improved so much that you could expose a flame directly to that material and it would not burn. So it was used for gloves for workers near molten metal, and also was used for astronauts' launch suits. So the developments just continue. The spinning kind of thing, how it's made into the fiber, continues to change, and the, of course, chemistry, what goes into it, continues to change. A gel spinning technique used on polypropylene increased the nature of Kevlar, made it 5 times as strong as nylon, and with twice as strong as Kevlar. That was just through a different spinning process. So what else would fibers be used for? Well, it's almost unending. And the first thing I found when I went exploring this information was perhaps that today's clothing has an untapped source of becoming wearable electronics. You could turn those rigid electronic parts into stretchy clothing material. And so it would be like having the batteries, all the electronics you need to light up your clothing. But a couple of interesting ways to use that. You know, you go, why do we need that kind of thing? Well, it's suggested that people may swipe a finger across a car's upholstery to turn down the heat, or brush their coat sleeves to adjust the volume on a connected music player. So, you know, it's beyond, the scientist has to come up with it, but then usually there's some other people go, okay, this is how we could use it. Also related to the electronics, would you like to have a shirt that can see, hear, and even talk? I don't know if that's something that we'd like. But it's possible to make clothing from light and sound-sensitive materials. And there could be microphones built into the clothing. You're going, well, I don't know if I want to have a microphone in there. Is it going to pick up what everybody says? Well, one use is, you know, the people who set up loudspeakers and so on, they could just touch their clothing and it turns into a loudspeaker. Even more important is the possibility to be used as medical sensors. Perhaps an undershirt could monitor your heart rate. You know, it's just incredible the possibilities that can be used not only in fun kinds of ways but in very serious ways related to protecting our health. Well, just some other examples because of the various things that we can do with fibers and fabrics. Many of the high-performance graphite fishing rods, golf clubs, tennis rackets, other kinds of sports equipment have been made much lighter and stronger, and those are because of fibers, not because, you know, so easy to say it's kind of plastic or silicone. It's really a fiber, just as the cotton fiber was to begin with. Also, because these fibers are lighter and stronger and tougher, aircraft is being built with those composite fibers. The new Boeing 767 commercial jet contains 46% textile composite in its body segments. Other airlines, other airplane manufacturers are doing the same. Also, all U.S. commercial jets have brakes made from carbon composites, same thing we're using in fibers in our clothing and other ways, just as we've been talking about, because they withstand extremely high temperatures generated from the brakes. Rocket exhausts and nose cone covers for space shuttles are made from these same high-performance fibers. And I, you know, in the past, it just reminds me, I talked about those, the new cleaning cloths, because they're so fine, they clean without having a solution added to them, just water. Well, part of the reason is that some of these fibers, they cannot absorb moisture themselves, but the space between them can absorb more moisture than the cotton fiber does, for instance. Well, the list goes on. There are other medical uses for all these fibers that are being developed. Artificial body parts, artificial hearts, artificial kidneys, replacement arteries. It goes on. So development of textiles is an exciting world. It would be a good career. If you know somebody's going to college, they might want to look into textile engineering as a possibility. Until next time, change is the law of life. Those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future.